Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions are brought to us by Almanac.com and RD, as in Reader's Digest.com. Couple of welcome to the first weekend of March questions. Question number one, what is March Madness? Is that A, a mental disorder caused by the lingering effects of winter's diminished sunshine? Is it B, name for the behavior of a rabbit in the novel Alice in Wonderland? Is it C, the time for basketball tournaments to begin? Or is it D, the Mardi Gras craziness associated with Fat Tuesday? Or is it E, all of the above? So what is March Madness anyway? And question number two, which of the following statements about the month of March is true? Is it A, March is National Umbrella Month? Is it B, it used to be the first month of the calendar year? Is it C, the number of vasectomies surges in March? Is it D, it was named for an ancient god of war? Or is it E, all of the above are true? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of March the 4th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1877, that the Tchaikovsky ballet Swan Lake debuted. 1877 today. And it was 67 years ago today, 1955, that Elvis Presley made his first TV appearance on the Louisiana Hayride Show. 1955 today.
Big dreams and faded jeans fit together like a team, always busting at the seams. Big dreams and faded jeans, just my old guitar and me, out to find my destiny. Nashville is the place to be for big dreams and faded jeans.
Dolly Parton's Big Dreams and Faded Dream Jeans, off of her new album, Run Rose Run, introduces our country music news. It's entitled Partners in Crime. Dolly Parton and James Patterson team up for Run Rose Run novel and album. The jointly written mystery book and accompanying country album both debut in March. This is written in Entertainment Weekly, the March 2022 issue, by Sidney Buxbaum. What happens when the Queen of Country and the King of Thrillers team up? They create a project that's the first of its kind. Next month, music legend Dolly Parton, 76, and best-selling author James Patterson, 75, will publish Run, Rose, Run. That comes out on March the 7th. A Nashville-set mystery novel about two singers, an older, jaded icon, and a young newcomer with a dark past, as well as an accompanying country album of the same name that brings those characters' songs to life. That's out March 4th. Speaking to EW via Zoom from Parton's hometown of Nashville, in matching red and black sequined outfits no less, the new partners in crime offer a glimpse inside the highly unexpected real-life friendship that developed when they put their prolific heads together for a spring slate of pop culture releases.
I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake cheers. And there are many just like me with big dreams and fake
cheers. EW asks, you two make an iconic duo, but how did this collaboration even begin? James Patterson says, like a lot of people, I was a big fan of Dolly's. I had this germ of a story, idea about a singer, so I contacted her, and Dolly said, hey, come down to Nashville and let's see if we like each other. Dolly Parton replies, and we liked each other a lot. I was nervous just meeting him because I love his work, and I wasn't sure if this was going to work. I would have found some excuse, great, thank you, but I'm too busy, or this is not my thing. But we felt a bond. I wasn't sure how I would fill in to the picture. I haven't written a novel, but it was an interesting idea, and I related to the story he had in mind. So I might be able to contribute to that, knowing as how I know a lot about the music business, and we really created a wonderful friendship in working together. Patterson adds, we had a lot of things in common. We're both from nowhere little towns, and the chance of either of us making it was about 10 million to one. We're both storytellers. Country music is really about storytelling. When we were down in Nashville, she said, I've written thousands of country songs. I can write one standing on my head. Want to see? And Parton adds, I do write fast. Patterson says, we're both, I think, pretty down to earth. We're not impressed with ourselves. We can be pretty funny. We did this with no agents, no lawyers, no nothing. We just said, hey, let's do this thing. Parton adds, we've been lived long enough and we've been in the business long enough to think if we're going to do something this unique, we need to do this on a very personal level. Patterson adds, one of the other things about show business, publishing, whatever it is, they tend to think backwards in terms of what worked yesterday, and we were interested in something new. Nobody's ever done this. Nobody's done a book and an accompanying album. If we tried to do it with pure business people, they'd go, oh no, that's never going to work. An album and a book? Why would you do that? They would have tried to tell us no, but we wouldn't have let them. Parton adds, it's like a soundtrack to a book. Maybe more people will do it if this one does well. Patterson adds, I'm sure they will. And EW asks, how did the creative process of making the book and the album at the same time work between the two of you? Patterson answers, I never really get into the secret sauce, but we did go back and forth a lot. And Parton adds, he wrote a lot, and then I would read what he was writing, then I would write songs. James had not heard the music or the melody or the production. He just knew only the lyrics that I would send back and forth, and he'd incorporate the lyrics into the book. Then I brought James and his wife Sue down to Nashville for a listening party, and that was partly because I wanted him to hear it before we got other people involved. I was a nervous wreck wondering what he would think. And Patterson says, that was so funny. I'm so nervous. You're Dolly Parton. John Davis playing Blind Tom Wiggins' composition, Voice of the Waves, introduces our classical music news. It's entitled The Exploitation of Pianist Thomas Blind Tom Wiggins, the Musical Prodigy Born into Slavery. Pianist Thomas Blind Tom Wiggins, who became the first African-American to perform at the White House, had his talents taken advantage of from an early age. This is written by Sophia Alexandra Hall, published in ClassicFM.com on the 22nd of February, 2022. American composer and pianist Thomas Wiggins, born Thomas Green, was born in 1849 on the Wiley Edward Jones Plantation in Harris County, Georgia, America. Shortly after his birth, due to Wiggins' blindness and undiagnosed autism, he was sold along with the rest of the family at a discount price due to a new owner, lawyer, general, James Neal Bethune. As Wiggins was blind, he could not perform work which was demanded from slaves at the time, so instead he was left to explore his new plantation home. He became fascinated with sounds such as the singing of a bird or the rain landing on the tin roof which he would lie under. Wiggins soon began sneaking into Bethune's house, where they had a piano which the general's daughters would learn on, and tried to mimic the sounds that he had heard outside on the instrument. He reportedly composed his first piece, The Rainstorm, on said piano when he was just 5 years old, inspired by the rain on his roof. Bethune soon discovered Wiggins' natural talent and decided to take the young musician under his wing, though for his own benefit, not the child composer's. Neighbors reported that Wiggins would often practice for up to 12 hours a day. Whether this was his own choice or not is unrecorded. Wiggins began touring around the South of America as young as 6 years old. Then from the age of 8, he was hired out to a concert promoter who sent him touring across the whole country, bringing in the promoter and Bethune sums of up to $100,000 a year. That's about $3.4 million a year today. It is thought that the Bethune family made a whopping $750,000, or $25.4 million today, from Wiggins' talent in total. Wiggins' memory was excellent, and his repertoire was said to be over 7,000 songs long, with pieces ranging from hymns to classical music to popular music. He could listen to a piece and play it back almost immediately, flawlessly. The prodigy was grossly marketed by tour promoters, likening the young musician to an animal due to his stature and behaviors, and the media often likened him to numerous woodland creatures in their reviews and tour announcements. Despite Wiggins' excellent musicianship, the majority of media outlets criticized the man simply because of his race. Even towards the end of his life, at the turn of the 20th century, publications would praise his musicality and memory, but liken his talents to those of a performing animal. In 1904, the Tacoma Times maliciously reported, "Blind Tom, with all of his music, is no more than a highly trained dog or horse which can be made to perform for the public's amusement." 1 year prior to the Civil War, Wiggins became the first African-American to perform at the White House, which he did in front of President James Buchanan in 1860. Wiggins would have been just 11 years old. While the Emancipation Proclamation and subsequent 13th Amendment freed all slaves in America when Wiggins was a teenager, Bethune convinced his parents to sign a 5-year agreement that gave the lawyer legal guardianship over the musician. This guardianship from various members of the Bethune family, first the general, then his son, then his wife, remained until Wiggins' death in 1906, though his birth mother tried and failed multiple times to release her son. Wiggins continued performing up until 1904, when he suffered from a stroke that stopped him playing. While the musician's life was spent in the hands of others, his once-in-a-generation talent inspired multiple black and visually impaired musicians. Wiggins was one of the most celebrated black concert performers of the 19th century, but is virtually unknown today, despite numerous books written about his life and documentaries. No original recording of him appeared to exist, though his sheet music for his compositions are available. Bridges, Mariella, introduce our rhythm and blues music news. It's entitled Texas Tea, psych rocker band Kruangan and singer, soul singer Leon Bridges go big on their latest Lone Star State repping EP. This is written by Alex Suckskine, published in Entertainment Weekly, March 2022 issue. 3 years ago, smooth crooner Leon Bridges and spacey instrumental outfit Kruangbin stepped by a recording studio in Houston. The result, a gorgeous four-song EP called Texas Sun, was filled with hammock-friendly grooves and big sky acoustics. And turns out there was more to the arsenal. This month sees the release of its sexy, slow-rolling companion, the five-song Texas Moon. This project lives in its own universe, bassist Laura Lee says of both EPs. It's not Kruangbin. It's not Leon. It's Kruangbin and Leon. If that universe exists, it's somewhere in the album's titular state, where both acts hail from. Like its predecessor, Bridges hopes Moon, most of which was recorded in the initial Sun sessions, will help redefine the state sound. I've always loved that marriage of country music and R&B, he says. Ed's drummer, Donald DJ Johnson, Texas music is so much more than what people envision it to be. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, Dolphins Respond to Flute Playing, Proving Live Music Could Improve Aquatic Communication. This is written by Sophia Alexandra Hall in ClassicFM.com. Researchers at Australian National University suggest that music could be the major key to helping humans communicate with the aquatic mammals. Music is a universal language that connects humans across the world, but could it help us communicate with other species? Well, that's what researchers from the Australian National University have suggested after an experiment involving flutes and flippers took place on Port Stephens, New South Wales, Australia, in December 2021. The experiment revealed that dolphins are attracted to high-pitched frequencies of several musical instruments, including the flute, piccolo, the Indian wooden recorder, and a high-pitched singing voice. High frequencies in particular, intervallic distances between notes, seem to draw the dolphins in and excite them. Dolphins live in a world of sounds. They communicate with one another by sending a sound which is a hologram of information. So I know we as humans can communicate with dolphins through music. Dolphins are highly intelligent creatures and can sense our thoughts, feelings, state of being, and send us sounds to heal us. The next step for the researchers is to determine what sounds dolphins are most receptive to, and will this change depending on if the music comes from performers outside the water or if the music is played underwater. For example, do they respond differently to structured music, like a Bach sonata?
Please be happy, 'cause you know I cannot bear to see you in this state of melancholy, curled up in your chair. Please don't worry, 'cause the world will break apart as easy.
Tears for Fears, new release, Please Be Happy, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Tears for Fears, and it's their new album, The Tipping Point, which is given a grade of B by this reviewer, Mark Hirsch, Entertainment Weekly, March 2022. If The Tipping Point were the debut from a duo making electronic pop for grown-ups, it would be a formidable calling card for a new band. Coming from Tears for Fears, it's both disappointing and impressive. Who would expect a legacy act that hasn't released an album since 2004 to still be vital in 2022? And yet, Tipping Point is vital, if not as fully formed as it could be. Songs like Long, Long, Long Time and the title track don't recall previous Tears for Fears records, but are instead constructed on the updated sounds explored by groups like Sylvanesso. But Tears still find organic opportunities for human vulnerability and connection. Or Zabal's voice has gained a deeper resonance that gives Rivers of Mercy a tender intimacy, and No Small Thing is the sound of a man defiantly holding on to the one thing that keeps the darkness at bay. There aren't many 17-year hiatuses that end by presenting a group with plenty of gas left in the tank. When I'm 40 years older, when I'm wrinkled and wise, sings Ozabal, and The Tipping Point makes a compelling argument that it will be worth the wait.
Please be happy, 'cause you know I cannot bear to see you in this state of melancholy.
So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what is March Madness? Is it A, a mental disorder caused by the lingering effects of winter's diminished sunshine? Is it B, named for the behavior of a rabbit in the novel Alice in Wonderland? Is it C, the time for basketball tournaments to begin? Was it D, the Mardi Gras craziness associated with Fat Tuesday? Or E, all of the above? Correct answer, answer C. March Madness refers to that time of year when the NCAA men's and women's college basketball tournaments are held. Evidently, it all started back in 1908. The Illinois High School Association began sponsoring a statewide tournament that became so popular by 1939, it routinely sold out the University of Illinois gymnasium. The tournament was dubbed March Madness by Henry V. Porter, an executive with the IHSA, who wrote an essay about it. It's unclear what happened in 2012 to cause the IHSA to agree to have the NCAA take full ownership of the March Madness trademark, but now it does. And the answer to our second question, which of the following statements about the month of March is true? Is it A, March is National Umbrella Month? Is it B, it used to be the first month of the calendar year? Is it C, the number of vasectomy surges in March? Or was it D, it was named for an ancient god of war? Or E, all of the above are true. Correct answer? Answer E. all of these answers are correct. As noted in an article titled The Month of March 2022, Holidays, Fun Facts, Folklore, published on the 25th of February 2022 in Almanac.com and in Reader's Digest RD.com. March is not only National Umbrella Month, but March 9th in particular has been declared International Fanny Pack Day. Additionally, March 1 used to be welcomed with Happy New Year by the ancient Romans. In the early Roman calendar, March was the first month of the calendar year. As March brought the first day of spring with the vernal equinox, it was the start of new beginnings. It became the third month when January and February became the first and second months around 450 BCE. And as noted in Reader's Digest, RD.com, Live Science reports that the number of vasectomies surges by 50% during the first weeks of the annual basketball tournaments. Why? Patients typically need at least a day with ice to keep the swelling down, urologist Stephen Jones, MD, told Fox News. So if they're going to spend a whole day doing nothing, it's not hard to figure out what they do it on a day they'd like to be sitting in front of the TV. Last but not least, the month was actually named for the Roman god of war. This was the time of year to resume military campaigns that had been interrupted by winter. March was historically the perfect month for both farmers to resume farming and warriors to resume warring. As noted in that Reader's Digest article, the Pentagon still seems to agree with this Roman tradition. Almost all major U.S. NATO-led military operations since the invasion of Vietnam have begun in the month of March. So perhaps March comes in like a lion. But does this month necessarily go out like a lamb? We'll see. So let's close out today's program with a musical tribute to the month of March, Baja's cover of the song Waters of March.
It's the end of the road, it's the rest of the stump, it's a little alone, it's a sliver of glass, it is life, it's the sun, it is night, it is death, it's a trap, it's a gun, the oak when it booms, a fox in the brush, the note of the wood, the song of the thrush, the word of the wind, the cliff, a fall, a scratch, a lump, it is nothing at all, it's the wind blowing free, it's the end of a slope, it's a beam, it's a void, it's a hunch, it's a
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.